is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
If I ask you to give me the opposite of love, what would you say? I think most people would say hate. But when we turn to God's word, we find that the opposite of love is fear. And so one of the best things you can do if you want to strengthen your marriage is to begin to overcome fear. Because the Bible teaches fear and love are opposites. Both can't rule the throne of your heart at the same time. To the degree that you are driven by fear is the same degree to which you cannot love and will not experience love. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney. And we've been digging in for some episodes now into the factor of fear factor, and how God's word tells us that if you are not willing to risk, you are not likely to experience real intimacy. These two things go together, because love by its definition is giving, risking, opening up, moving towards, letting someone in, and fear by its very definition, and when you see it at play in your own life, is shutting down, stepping back, protecting, guarding, being cautious, being careful. Those things kill love. So what does fear do to us that impacts our marriage so significantly? Well, you need to understand that, and we all, I hope you know I'm not picking on anyone in particular. I'm not saying you have a fear problem. We already said in an earlier show, every human being is born a sinner, which means every human being is eaten up with, by nature, this fear factor that brings with it guilt and shame and the desire to hide and protect. So what does fear do to us that impacts our marriage so significantly? Well, you need to understand that your fears, it's fear that will make you and will make me touchy and defensive. In fact, your own fear will fuel a critical spirit and will breed negative expectations. You'll assume the worst about your spouse. In general, you'll have very little patience with the weaknesses of others, especially those closest to you. Fear causes you to be critical, to attack, and to have negative expectations and to make negative assumptions about your spouse. We hate to admit it when we've made a mistake. That's what fear does. We hate to admit weakness. That's what fear does. And yet mistakes and weakness get pushed to the surface of a marriage in no time at all, do they not? That's what makes marriage so hard. Not just that we're so different. Oh, I didn't know they wanted the toilet paper going that direction. Or, oh, I didn't know they squeezed the toothpaste in the middle. We laugh as we hear about things like that. And some of that is true. You can get all worked up about very little things. But here's what makes marriage so hard. It's that I am being exposed and known and seen at close range. You realize it's just hard to hide in a marriage, but we want to hide. We don't like being this exposed. We don't like being this vulnerable. We don't like being this known. Two common reactions when we're fearful and defensive. When you're fearful and defensive, you will accuse and you will excuse. And you see it right in the garden. I love taking you back to Genesis as often as possible, just so that you'll understand the power of God's word, especially with origins. Where we are today did not just happen. Nothing just happens. We are where we are today because of significant things the Bible teaches us that happened centuries ago that have set the course of humanity and our world. We might have faster transportation. We might have bigger screen TVs. We might have all kinds of things that are different than when the Bible was being written. What is not different is basic human nature and what's going on inside of us. You see, right in the garden, immediately, I'm telling you that fear will cause you to accuse and excuse. And Adam did it right there in Genesis chapter 3. When God came calling, he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam, when he finally came out of hiding, said, here's what's going on. This woman you gave me. Oh my goodness. Two chapters before that, she had a name, Adam. You loved her dearly. When God brought her to Adam, he literally said, whoa, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He was so excited. He'd already named all the animals and nothing that he saw looked comparable to him. And when he saw the woman, he said, oh, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. He was thrilled. And her name was Eve. But as soon as sin entered in and fear became a factor and hiding became part of what we do, we begin to accuse and excuse. We accuse others and we excuse ourselves. We accuse others and we excuse ourselves. And really, it's shocking when you think about it. What Adam is actually doing, he's not blaming Eve. He is to some degree saying, this woman gave me the fruit. He's actually blaming God. This woman you gave me. Before he had been so grateful for what God has done. That's what sin will do. That's what fear will do. Instead of being open and instead of owning and being willing to admit and honest about us, we accuse and we excuse. We accuse. So we blame our mates. We say it's their fault. It's their problem. I can't tell you how many times it breaks my heart. If you're listening and you're a man, you're a husband. Oh man, hear me on this. I cannot tell you how many times we get paperwork from a woman, a wife. She wants to work on her marriage. She wants them to get to a better place. And her husband has said, yeah, you go get help because it's all your fault. Why don't you get straightened out with your mess and we'll have a better marriage? That's blame shift. That's not owning your own sin. There's two sinners in a marriage. Oh, sin causes us to accuse and to blame. It's not me. I'm not the problem. It's their fault. And back in the book of Genesis, you see it from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam blames Eve and ultimately blames God for giving him a woman like this. That's what sin will do. That's what fear does. And that's what wrecks marriages. It's the nature of sin to blame and accuse because we think if I admit my own sin in this matter, they may use it against me later in future marital skirmishes. I want to have a leg up. I don't want them to have anything against me. But that's not how God calls us to live. He calls us to walk humbly with our mates and to quickly say and own what our part of the problem is. Not pretend it's not there and not shift blame. So we accuse, but what else do? We excuse ourselves. We pretend nothing is wrong. We always put the best spin on us. We have a reason why what we did makes sense. A reason why it's acceptable under these circumstances. And yet we slide our spouse under the microscope of our criticism and we never think it's acceptable or appropriate what they just did. This is what fear will do. This is what hiding will do. Accusing and excusing. If we're not willing to admit that we are a sinner and that we're part of the equation, we're part of the conflict, we're part of what's going sideways and wrong in our marriage. If we ignore it or pretend that it's not there, things will not get better. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we claim that we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. Now listen to me. To accept the truth that you are a sinner and you are part of the problem, you have to have already accepted and truly embraced, but I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm a son or daughter of the King. I know he loves me. If you're not convinced that he loves you and has forgiven you, you will not want to admit you're wrong. Admit your sin. Show your weakness. Let me ask you, what are you pretending to not know about your marriage? What do you keep pushing aside and trying to pretend you don't see that God's showing you about you? I hope you realize, yes, God gives us marriage for many reasons. Companionship, joy, doing life together. Yes, 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 yes. Producing children, perhaps. But one of the reasons he gives us marriage, did you realize, is to see yourself, to show you more of you, things that you were not seeing about you. So let me ask you, what are you pretending to not know about your marriage or not see that God's trying to show you about you? And I'm not trying to be mean to you. You might be saying, but you're not even talking to my spouse. You're not. Listen, when God shows you something about you, guess why that's so exciting? You can do something about you. Anything he shows me about me, by God's grace, I can work on that. There's really only one person I can change, me. So when God shows me more about me, it is exciting. Consider, what has God been trying to show you about you, but fear has kept you accusing and excusing? We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dig into some more of what fear is doing to our marriages and how we need to ask God, give me courage to risk really loving another human being at close range.
We'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment. And what kind of grabbed me about what he's talking about today is the idea that we can be married 40 or 50 years and still be hiding behind walls. Because that's true. We know it within ourselves that that's true, but a lot of times we don't admit it enough to talk about it out loud. And it made me think about Ken Sandy's The Peacemaker. This book shows you how to go beyond just avoiding conflict. It's something that I've said many times should be recommended reading for every single Christian. Definitely every married couple. Ken Sandy's The Peacemaker, available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Can I share something exciting that's happening at Fortis Institute? Look, we're in this cultural moment where it feels like everybody's building walls, but we're doing something different. 8 new voices have come on and become a part of our ministry to stand alongside Todd, and they're helping people knock down these walls of pretense and fear. And through our Fortis Plus app, you can access all of the content they're creating. 7 pieces of brand new content loaded every single day, from video resources to audio resources like podcasts and other things. You can find it available right now at fortisplus.org, or you can download it to your mobile device. And in order for us to continue doing that, we've got to have partners. We got to have partners just like you who understand what's at stake. Whether you take the blinders off and really see it right now or not, there is a lot at stake. And when someone becomes a gospel partner with us here at Fortis, you're not just supporting another ministry. You're not just helping keep our lights on around here. You're investing in marriages to be restored. You're investing in people finding freedom from fear and in believers being equipped to stand firm when everything else around them seems to be crumbling. We can't do this alone. And so if you would consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand that's what gives us the foundation we need to continue creating these biblical resources, resources that meet people right where they are, like Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, or like Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, specifically addressing how this generation's young men can break free from their fear and find their way in God's calling. Would you pray about becoming a gospel partner and joining us? You can head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to learn more about what it would look like in your life to be an ongoing monthly gospel partner. fortisinstitute.org. That's got all of the answers to all of the questions you're looking for. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, when we took a break, I was asking you a personal question. What is it that you're pretending to not know about you that God's been trying to show you? I don't know if you've been married 6 months, 6 years, 16 years, 48 years. Do you realize just being married a long time does not guarantee a great marriage? We're talking about how your marriage could begin to thrive, and it has nothing to do with how long you've been married. You can have a 40, 50-year-long marriage that is shallow, that is superficial, that is still hiding. You've spent 40 years pretending. You've spent 40 years just still hiding from each other. You've spent 40 years blaming, accusing, and excusing. If you've lived any length of time, then probably you've seen incredibly sad examples of an older couple that you can tell, yes, they stayed together, but wow, they do not love each other. They don't love each other at all. It's mean-spirited. They're on each other. It's constant accusations and criticism and expectations and harsh words. There's nothing beautiful about it just because they've been married 40 years. What is it that God has wanted to show you about you? Because, oh, when you push back past the fear of dealing with that, you might just begin to love in ways you had not been able to. What are you defensive about? What do you get touchy and irritable or sullen and quiet about whenever it comes up? Consider asking God, help me to step into that. Help me to stop pretending. Help me to do some gracious, good work in that area of my life, because you've chosen to expose it and to show me, not so that I would shut down, not so that I would pretend, but so that I would grow and go to a different place in my personal life and then begin to love my spouse on a level I had not been able to love. The tragedy is that a lot of marriages have problems that could be solved fairly quickly, but pretending perpetuates the problem and it allows it to fester, and the infection only spreads throughout the marriage and home to the point that sometimes, I see this all the time, I'll be meeting with someone doing counseling. They've been married 15, 20, 25 years. They can't even remember where it first went bad and what it is they're so upset about. Neither can remember where or when the problem originated. They just know, I don't like them. I don't like them. We've gone to war. Instead of love, there is an active war. And very often it boils down to each person trying to prove who's the most right and who's most wrong. Who's at fault? Whose feet are we going to lay this at? And it's not going to be mine. So often they don't even know where to start to fix it anymore. So the pain gets worse and worse and worse. Communication breaks down further and further. And each person begins to get more and more entrenched in their own corner. And better at justifying why you're right and why they're wrong. Listen, I'm not just talking to you. I lived it. I know this. In the first 2 to 3 years of our marriage, I became entrenched in just trying to rearticulate to Vicky one more time how she never had it so good. I'm a great guy. I'm a great guy. I'm a great guy. And I was so convinced because I'd said it so many times, and I was licking my wounds, feeling sorry for myself. Oh, there was no room for love. I was so busy accusing her and excusing me, and that was driven by fear, and it was squelching love. That's why it's no surprise I was shocked at the time, because I hope you realize I had no awareness of this. I'm looking back now and telling you this. Of course I didn't know it. Of course I would not have described my situation this way. But Vicky looked at me one day and said, I don't love you anymore. I have no feelings for you. Well, that's where you arrive in a marriage that is filled with fear and hiding and pretending, driven by fear that says, I'm going to accuse you and excuse me. Vicky and I are still in the classroom of marital growth. We have not arrived, but oh, we're at such a better place. There is love. There is a willingness to open up. There's a willingness to let the other person in. There's a willingness to be seen for who we really are. And it's still not all perfect, but I know I'm loved. We've literally looked at each other a couple times in the last 5 to 10 years and said, wow, I think we're beginning to taste a measure of what God designed marriage to be like. She is my safest person, I am her safest person because we know we can open up. We can be honest. We can be real. We can be vulnerable. And guess what? That is the very essence of love. Not the other things that our world thinks about that is really pushed in the category of Hollywood romance. Just these wild experiences and this over the top this and over the top that. And some of the best things are very simple but sweet things. I trust her and I can rest in her presence. I don't have to pretend. I'm not driven to accuse or excuse. I can own my sin and I can ask forgiveness for my sin from God and from Vicky. And we can experience real love because fear has begun to be killed in our marriage because we begin to cultivate mature, grown-up, robust love that is risking giving to the needs of another, having their best interest at heart. I dare you to stop the cover-up in your marriage. Quit pretending. What is it? I like to say to my counselees sometimes, especially if we're not getting traction and it's like session 6 or 7, and it's just like, what is going on? What is going on? I just feel like and I'll ask this question. I'm so excited that you guys filled out the paperwork. You agreed to come. I'm excited to be working with you. And the paperwork includes all kinds of information, questions about what's going on. But then I'll say this, what is it that you had decided before you ever came that you were not going to tell me, that you were not going to let me know? And then I watched the look on their face. And I usually know if there's something that they're hiding, something that they're holding back, something that they have not revealed, then that's what's going on. Because very often that thing that they think he doesn't need to know is a huge factor in moving us forward, is a huge factor in what's keeping them stuck. The same is true in your marriage. What is it that you are pretending, still holding back and saying, I'm not going to deal with that. Not going to deal with that. What is it that you're defensive about and don't want to talk about? It's not going to get any better until you face it. For the sake of your marriage, say, God, fill me with your love so that I could risk loving someone else and being known by somebody else. Is it possible to have a relationship without fear like Adam and Eve had before the fall? Well, it won't be perfect. But yes, you can move in that direction of experiencing again what it was like to be in relationship with a human being without sin fueling fear that keeps alive guilt and shame. As you look to God for forgiveness of your sins, and as you look to God to reorient you in your identity as to who you are, a beloved adopted child of God, it will enable you to risk letting another person, starting with your spouse, know who you really are, to risk admitting sins and stop being so defensive and stop pretending and begin to work together to truly love each other. I believe what 1 John 4:18 tells us, fully developed love expels every particle of fear, for fear always contains some of the torture of feeling guilty. That's the Phillips translation. Oh, fear is a huge factor in killing love, in hindering marriage relationships, in putting you in a box that does not allow you to move beyond where you are. And some of you are suffocating in that box of fear, thinking if I knock down these walls, oh my goodness, listen to me. Knocking down those walls and stepping across that line and risking being known could be the very thing that your marriage has been missing. But to do that, you've got to be convinced of God's love for you, that does not change, that enables you then to love your spouse on their good days, love them on their bad days, love them in the sunshine, love them in the valley, love them with the happy times, and love them in the dark, troubled times, because God's love for you does not ebb and flow and change.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.